And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by United American Bank, your friendly community bank. United American Bank, offering simply better banking in Half Moon Bay, San Mateo, and Redwood City. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kendall Flint of Flint Strategies is working with the county on a special project dealing with Princeton by the Sea. We asked her to give us details.
Well, Plan Princeton is basically a land use upgrade, if you will. It's a specific plan, which means, unlike a general plan, which has lots of sort of overarching goals, this has a few more specifics in it. And really the idea was that the Princeton area, which is essentially the harbor, that area by the yacht club, there's a couple of streets over there, there's a combination of businesses, a few restaurants, it was feeling that it needed a little bit of refreshing. And the challenge there was that we have a lot of folks that live there, a lot of coastsiders that were very concerned about the potential Disneyfication, if you will, of that area. They wanted to make sure that it retained, you know, the sort of the local charm, and it wasn't going to be just another like Santa Cruz or some of the other places out there. So the county went in and basically said, look, let's take a look at this area and find out what things people want to see in terms of enhancements and what things they want to see preserved. And then we really took a lot of time in terms of meeting with local stakeholders, meeting with the public. Our meetings, in fact, were extremely well attended, to really come up with a plan that was going to look at land use, circulation, and infrastructure investments that would enhance that. That is everything from looking at the way that there's many places that you can't actually get to the beach, reclaiming some of the beach that's there because the sand has been washing away, and sort of shoring up that area, making sure we've got places to go, and making sure that residents and the businesses there can actually move around. Princeton Harbor, Pillar Point Harbor, is actually one of the very few working harbors in California. If you live here, you don't have to know that. I mean, everybody knows that. You go down and get your crab, you get your salmon, whatever kind of fish you have, but it is a working harbor for fishermen, and that's its primary goal. So it's not designed to be visitor-serving, if you will, although there are some visitor amenities there, and I think that was one of the things that we found challenging at first, because a number of the members of the public were very concerned that it might move in a different direction. But at this point, we think that we've got a real good handle on what people wanted to see, and we've been getting excellent feedback in terms of what the consultant team in the county came up with.
What are the boundaries of the project area?
Well, essentially, when you come in, if you're going from Half Moon Bay, if you're going north on Highway 1 and you make a left into the harbor, Capistrano, that area all the way around back to the airport and then again up to where the fields are, kind of behind, if you will, the old Princeton Landing, now Silver Star facility there. So it's really just in that harbor area. It does have some residential, it does have a lot of business, and it has a lot of industrial uses. We have packing plants, we have some storage plants, our storage facilities, things like that. And the idea was to really take a look at which uses were best suited and should be encouraged going forward, and which uses should not. You know, and as an example, as a working harbor, we wanted to make sure that there was access for boats, there was access for people who were in the fishing industry to move those great fish and crabs around, but also take a look at where, if any, visitor serving should be. And what we heard from the public is that the number of restaurants and facilities that are there now are actually adequate for what people wanted to have. So there aren't any major plans in place to, you know, bring in five-story development or do anything like that. Taking a look at the opportunities for pocket parks or benches, things like that, that can enhance the experience both for our residents and visitors. What was interesting to me is at the beginning, we had literally hundreds of people showing up saying, do not mess with Princeton. Do not turn us into something else. And we really worked very hard in terms of having meetings and opportunities for people to, you know, share those ideas and concerns. We had a website, which I encourage your listeners to check out, planprinceton.com. Had all the information and background about what we were
doing. Are you still soliciting information?
Absolutely. And where we're at right now is we went through a phase which we called the visioning part, which is basically big picture. What do people want to see? What do they not want to see? And then we took that and basically then crafted some concepts about what things would be appreciated and what things would be not as appreciated. And we found that, again, people were not interested in, you know, additional hotels or intensive development or even massive development.
They want to keep the feel and the flavor.
Exactly. And, you know, what I heard over and over again, it's sort of like keep Princeton funky. You know, it is what it is. And we don't want to turn it into something that it's not. And
speaking
it wants to have that diversity.
Speaking of which, though, I mean, there are areas of Princeton that, shall we say, it looks a little tired. And there are areas that, you know, just have a lot of scrap material. Let's go back in time a little bit. And was there ever, what did Princeton by the Sea look like in circa 1950 or earlier? Did it ever look different than it does now?
It did. But not much, to be honest. It kind of had a feel, if you will, of an old Cannery Row sort of thing. Because you had the Romero Pier, and there were some, obviously, fishing fishing in Pakangan. It's been a working harbor since it's been populated. But what really changed, I think, is really when you see in the 60s and 70s and to a little bit in the 80s that we did have some challenges with, unfortunately, people, you know, living in places that were not designed to house people. We did have some issues with drugs and alcohol. We did have some challenges with sort of, you know, the type of, from a safety, public safety standpoint, what type of uses were being handled there. And I think that the idea was, well, you don't want to, you know, legislate what people can and can't do with their property in too large of a brushstroke. You did make sure that they want to be something that's, you know, safe. So the idea was, we don't want people living in half-wide trailers that aren't meant for that, or shipping containers. We don't want things that could really impact negatively on public health and safety. On the other hand, we do know that people are still are boats there. There's a working harbor. There's going to be some boats. There's a few folks that have some other businesses there. But the way that we got from the public, people really want to see things that support the fishing industry, that support education as it pertains to maritime activities, whether that be sailing or kayaking or paddleboarding or fishing, but really look at those kind of things to encourage that. So when you look at the proposed uses now and where they're happening, along the boardwalk, if you have the front row of the harbor where you're seeing where actual connection with sand, that would be where Barber's Fish Trap and then around where the Mavericks Event Center is, those areas would be more geared towards a visitor or a enjoy the beach experience. And then the streets as you go back would be more appropriate for things like fish packing or manufacturing or other types of businesses that are already there.
You had mentioned that you were looking at maybe some little pocket parks.
So that, you know, when you're going down, I believe it's Harvard, when you turn in and you're coming around towards the yacht club, you can see all these streets that just sort of end. And they'll have gravel-ish kind of things, and they just sort of end. And there's no real place there for people to go and walk or, you know, sit on a bench and, you know, look at the harbor or just sort of hang out. And
which is a beautiful view.
It's a lovely view. And, you know, and again, it's a lovely, funky view. It's nice. And people really enjoy it. And they enjoy the sort of peaceful nature of that. And what we heard from the public is that they would love to have those kind of small, intimate opportunities to sort of sit and enjoy and take it all in, as opposed to, you know, large scale development that has, you know, drawing thousands of people to go to a particular place. So it's really a matter of having that balance that says, you know, we can really do both. And also working with the environmental teams and the shoreline experts to bring in additional sand and figure out ways to reclaim some of that beach that we've lost and ensure that the harbor continues to work properly and be a good ecosystem and be sustainable as time goes on and marches forward, which it always does.
So where are we on the timeline of all this?
We are wrapping it up. We are going to be probably finishing this project in the next 3 to 5 months. At this point, we've made some suggestions. We had an open house earlier this year and gave people an opportunity to look at all the proposals in terms of what has come out of it. And we got a tremendously positive feedback on that.
Are you going to have any other meetings?
It looks like we're going to have one more. And that's what I was going to check earlier to make sure that we're still working with the county to determine when that might be. But we want to make sure that the public has a final opportunity to look at the plan that as has been produced.
Well, be sure and let us know.
Oh, we will. Absolutely.
But
I think it's important for people to note that, you know, where we have some of these projects sometimes where you have the general plan update that the city's doing or others, and perhaps there's a very small group of people that are involved with it. In this particular case, we had our open house was attended by over 150 people. When we had our initial kickoff meeting, we had almost 200 show up. We've had an average of 1,000 people visiting our website and commenting. So literally thousands of people have been involved in the evolution of this. And what was interesting to me is that at the end of the day, the vast majority of people were very happy with what has been proposed, and it really reflects their values and what they wanted to see, which is limited change, but just enough to have enhancements that make it easier for all of us to enjoy that area and easier to get around it, safety, that sort of thing, and really an idea of positioning it for a future evolution that is more about maintaining its character than changing it into something that it's not.
Now, for those who can't come to a meeting but still want to get their input recorded, you were inviting them once again to your website.
Yes. Anytime we've had a meeting, actually through the whole course of the project, and that goes for pretty much anything that we work on, we always want to give people an opportunity to participate online. So every single display, all the presentations, the same questions, surveys, whatnot, those are always available online for an extended period after each of the workshops. And we currently have no open workshops at this point, but when we go back to our final distribution of the plan, the specific plan for the area, there will be another opportunity online. And then at that time, once we're ready, there will be a presentation before the Planning Commission for the county. And then, of course, the County Board of Supervisors will have another opportunity at a hearing to move forward to adopt the plan and move forward. And the public is welcome to come and comment and weigh in if there's something that they felt that wasn't addressed or was missed during that time.
Why don't we mention the website once again for those who want to...
Thank you. The website is planprinceton.com. So that's planprinceton, all one word, .com.
And that's the best way for people to contact you or
Absolutely.
Give you their input.
Absolutely. And even now, there may not be a survey open, but we always have a comment open, and people are encouraged and welcome to send information, to review the documents that are there. All of the preliminary reports are available online, and they're waiting for you to go through, as well as, you know, the maps of the project area and anything else that we've done up to this point. So anything that's been associated with this particular project is right there ready to go.
Well, thank you for coming in. We appreciate visiting with you, and be sure to keep us posted. If there are any other meetings in the offing, be sure to let us know so we can get the word out for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Jim.
Kendall Flint on the county's Princeton by the Sea Project, our feature story of the week. The feature story of the week is just one segment of Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the coastside. For all of those that contribute and make Radio Magazine possible, this is Jim Henderson, thanking you for listening. And now, take a seat and strap yourself in for another ride in the KHMB Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer, next on your hometown station, AM and FM, KHMB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week has been brought to you by United American Bank, your friendly community bank. United American Bank, offering simply better banking in Half Moon Bay, San Mateo, and Redwood City. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.